And welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. So if you're looking for a tractor, a mower, implements, parts, service, they do it all up there. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. They're also the new Ego Electric lawn care distributor. So they have zero-turn mowers, riding mowers, handheld, commercial handheld. They've got it all up there. Go up and see them.
What's the difference between regular handheld and commercial handheld?
No, commercial's a little heavier duty.
Because if you're hiring people who don't take care of the tools?
Yeah, it comes with termination papers. So, they've got it all in stock. Go up and see them. Or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or you can get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
I haven't helped you with the commercial lately, so
I've been struggling.
I thought you were due for some.
Yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
That you were due for some harassment.
Yeah.
I could feel it. Oh, my goodness. Well, we have been doing a lot of kind of different stuff of late. And if you have not heard the show before, you can find everything back almost 14 years, actually, archives that are free to listen to, uninterrupted, a.k.a. no commercials. We didn't edit out Bill, though. We let his commercials stay in there.
Yeah.
But we took out all the free enterprise moments, and they're free to listen to at wethepeopleradio.us. You can, it's not just the archives, you know, the sound archives, actually. We've got any of the things that our guests have talked about, papers they've written, references, video, any of those links, that's all on there, and you're free to do whatever you like with it, and we hope you'll use it to educate people. That's why we show up here on Sundays. that's our thought anyway.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, we educate you on things you didn't want to know, you know, rock through the window, crazy stuff like that.
Well, and it's like Glenn Beck says, it's the fusion of education and enlightenment.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow. That doesn't sound fun, actually.
That's a mouthful.
I'm going to need to have more fun. There's going to have to be something more fun. The music is fun. We usually have fun music. And we've been doing some shows on the transgender deal. There is currently an initiative running in the state of California on that to help parents, you know, get a little protection from the school districts who want to be the parents. And if you have not seen that or heard about that, go to the archives at wethepeopleradio.us, click on the transgender tab, and you can actually print those signed initiatives yourself. It is March 3rd today, 2024, and that'll roll until that initiative has to be in by middle of April. So you have like 6 weeks. Hmm. So if that's an issue of interest to you, please get involved in that. And we'll be speaking with the district attorney here at the end of the month, and there is an initiative being run by the district attorneys in the state of California regarding Prop 47, the one that turned... The short version is it turned a whole bunch of our felonies into misdemeanors, which I know this is crazy, but it spiked crime. Huh. Imagine that. Stop punishing people, they commit more crimes. Crazy.
Yeah. Well, they weren't that bad. Just, you know, battery and, you know.
Yeah, just, you know, like huge theft and whatnot. Yeah. So we'll be chatting with her about that, and I'll post that as quickly as I can. There are initiatives to sign. They've got to have 500,000 signatures out there. And that is one where you're going to need to get the actual paperwork from someone who has it. I'll find that out and post it as quickly as I can, because you can't print them yourself. They're on these huge sheets that are trifold. So anyway, the transgender one, you can print yourself out of your own little printer. So there you go.
There you are.
It's my commercial moment.
There you have it.
Our guest. We have two different guests today. So first hour, we are talking to Dr. I forgot to put doctor in front of his name. Gosh, he spent all that time in medical school, and I undoctored him. Dr. Josh. And Dr. Josh, can you remind me, how do I say your last name? Is it Umber? Uh-oh. He's in the cone of silence.
Yeah, no worries.
Uncone him. Okay, how do I say it again?
It's Umber, like lumber.
Umber, like lumber, darn it. We haven't talked to you in, like, I think we spoke with you a year, like in 2020. It was a long time ago.
It's been a while.
It didn't seem that long. And then I had to look back for the archives. And I thought, oh, darn it, now I've already forgotten. And your name is deceptively simple, U-M-B-E-H-R. But it has some extra, it has those letters that sort of make you feel like you're blowing
a
it.
German H. Yes, exactly.
<That's right.
laughs> It has the, you're going to screw this up written all over it. And I was like, oh, man. So you are, the article, Lowering Healthcare Costs Through Site-Neutral Policies. So on the surface, like regular people kind of lose the last part, but lowering healthcare costs, that's, you know, not to bury the lead. I think everybody would like to do that.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen healthcare costs go down.
Yeah, really bad. And you're in Wichita, Kansas?
Yep.
Yeah. So, and so you have, you're always writing things about this. You're always doing studies, but we haven't talked to you in a few years. So tell us about your article and maybe what you've been up to. And you're kind of a policy guy in addition to
people
healthier.
You know, we've made the last 14 years our mission to help lower healthcare costs and help doctors and patients and look for innovative solutions. And yeah, the main movement is known as direct care, direct primary care. And part of that is seeing how the government can do things better, and so hence the site-neutral op-ed. But again, part of a larger mission to see how we can decrease insurance costs by providing health care in a more cost-effective way. We're really using insurance as a hammer when it should be a wrench. And so we can beat on it for a while, but we don't get good outcomes. So thinking about it different solves the problem in new and better ways.
Yeah, you know, we're seeing this in a, like, the little part of your bio that I thought was really interesting. So you're a family physician, and then you opened Atlas MD that you had kind of been, it says in your bio, a practice I'd been dreaming about for nearly a decade. And Atlas MD represents the ideal medical practice where you were able to shrug off the burdens and restrictions of government and insurance regulation so you can focus on patients. And I think anybody who is kind of trapped in the regular, the standard system, how about that? Physicians are so under the gun, they don't have the time to spend with their patients. They have to just keep in and out, to meet all the criteria, and then there's a ton of paperwork.
Yes, you know, patients always say, I hate going to the doctor's office, and surprise, surprise, so do doctors. it's not good for anybody. And it's, again, because we keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result, and the paperwork doesn't add any value to the patients. It's not helping make things faster, easier, better. It's not confirming a diagnosis. And so you really just have to, like, kind of first principle style, step back and ask, why are we doing so much of that? We don't have car insurance for gasoline or oil changes or windshield washers.
God, don't give them any ideas.
Exactly, yeah. So why are we using health insurance for family medicine and a lot of outpatient care and that's the big caveat, if we could make that as affordable as gasoline? The thankful reality is we really can. We dispense medicines directly out of our office. That's one innovative option for docs and patients. And so when you go direct to the manufacturers, they're 95% less when you cut out the big box retailers and their shareholders. So, you know, I can get 1,000 blood pressure pills for $8. You know, that's 3 years worth of medicine now, basically. So you don't need insurance for that. That's not to say insurance was bad. It's just it's not necessary anymore. And your cholesterol test is $3, and your thyroid test is $2. And so if we just go about it in a smarter way, then the best part about having affordable health insurance is not needing affordable health insurance to cover these types of things. Then patients get more care more often for less money, faster, easier, and their insurance premiums go down. So, it should sound too good to be true, but it's been, like I said, part of our mission for a long time, and now there's thousands of doctors and millions of patients participating with that grassroots movement.
Wow. And so I remember you telling us this, that your costs were so low, but I forget how you made that happen.
you know, I'd like to say it was more complicated than it was. Just like any restaurant has a wholesaler, the pharmacies have wholesalers. And so the manufacturers will either sell them direct or sell them to a middleman to make that easy. But then, so everyone likes to talk about the price of healthcare, and I think that gets lost. That's different than the cost. Cost is just actually, you know, the bottom line. Price is all the markup and bloat and paperwork and red tape that gets added on top. So when you say, you know, 45 states allow physicians to do this, we have a license to prescribe and dispense, so that when you do that, we'll cut out all the middlemen. There's no need to run it through insurance and add paperwork and add staff and all these things. So you buy a bottle of 1,000, physicians can count. So we just count out 30 or 60 or 90, and that's it. There's nothing more complicated. Which is why it's sort of embarrassingly easy that doctors either aren't doing it now or haven't been doing it for forever. We let that value to our patients go because we got so busy filing paperwork with insurance. So we kind of lost our way. I blame doctors more than I blame insurance companies. They pay for care. We provide the care. So we're front and center. We can look for those innovative solutions. And if it was really complex, then I could understand docs dragging their feet on that. But for 30% of everything your insurance pays for is prescriptions, there's definitely a large return on investment for doctors to learn how to do that so that they can turn around and help their patients get the meds they need at a fraction of the price.
Do you get any feedback from the pharmacies on these plans? I mean, you're actually basically cutting them out of the formula in a lot of cases. Are they giving you any feedback on that?
Well, they don't love it, but pharmacists don't love their job as it is anyways, right? Most corporate big box pharmacies are, you know, a professional sweatshop. It's very frustrating, and they're not happy there either with PBMs and gag orders, and they see these high prices that, you know, aren't consistent with the actual cost of meds, and they, you know, run into all these insurance-based issues, which is, you know, it's kind of like paying the hammer to slam your thumb, right? We did this to ourselves. In a future version of this, you'd have so many patients needing the meds that you'd hire your own pharmacist for a group of docs to make that workflow efficient. Or the pharmacist could probably outcompete us. They get prices in bigger bulk, so even a better discount. And I think it's like any business. If you put the patients first and then work backwards, good things happen. But you could have a pharmacy that's a mom and pop like any restaurant and say it's a $5 membership or it's cost plus a dollar or these sort of things. It makes less sense to involve insurance more and more often, since that's the thing kind of choking the life out of affordable care. So pharmacists can innovate in that space too and find a way either to compete with us or work with us, but as long as we're getting meds 95% less for patients, it's going to be a win-win.
Yeah, I you know, when I go to the pharmacy, probably without exception, there's somebody in line or somebody at the counter fighting over price and what their insurance will authorize and won't authorize and what they'll pay for and the cost. And it would seem to me that your plan would make sense for them if they could cut out, I mean, just in labor alone, the amount of time these people spend on the computer trying to get insurance authorization, you'd think that they would save a ton of money there.
Yeah, and you know, no one went to med school or pharmacy school to do paperwork.
Exactly.
And so, you know, it's not what they love doing either. They'd rather be with the patient, adding value, explaining meds, or, you know, answering questions. And instead, we've got them doing paperwork that slows the whole thing down. To slow the whole thing down.
Mm-hmm.
And so imagine what everything else in the store would cost, right? And that's sort of the funny thing, especially with pharmacies and grocery stores or convenience stores, is the entire rest of the business model is built on transparent prices and competing and value. And then when it comes to the pharmacy aisle, that all completely changes.
It does.
We couldn't possibly tell you what a medicine costs or whatnot, and we can only deal through your insurance, and there's gag orders about talking on discounts. So they know how to do it. It's right there. It's every other product in their store.
Well, it's a huge business, too. I mean, you go into these pharmacies and look at the shelves where they're storing medicines for people to come in and pick up. I mean, there's
Whoever's making those little bags the one really, really raking it in.
I'd just like to have the take on the staples they use to put all those bags together. I mean, there's literally hundreds and hundreds of prescriptions sitting there waiting for customers.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, in some cases, the bottle and the label does cost more than the medicine. Walmart has a $4 a month list. Direct Care has a $4 a year list. We're 12 times more competitive than Walmart. Because Walmart, one, the $4 list was incredible when they started that, but they haven't innovated since the mid 2000s on that, and they want that profit margin because everything else is struggling, and so no one's come out and really innovated hard. Direct Care is generally 80% cheaper than Amazon, 70% cheaper than GoodRx, and I would say the best of the best is Mark Cuban. He does a similar startup, Cost Plus Pharmacy, but we're still 45% cheaper than they are.
Wow.
So, because we don't need to make a profit.
Bottom line is, at this point, for most of us, if we flew to Wichita to get our medication and flew home, it'd be cheaper. We would still save money.
Find a direct care doc near you. Some meds, because people will often say, well, yeah, it's fine for blood pressure meds, but you can't do that for chemotherapy meds. And we can. I mean, it does definitely depend on the medicine, but at a patient with a brain tumor, we saved him $24,000 on every treatment by getting it wholesale.
Holy crap.
Just the insane markup. Or the difference at Walgreens between the seizure medicine, that's $108 per month, is $1.32 with Direct Care. And I think that's
I don't even know if I could do the math on that.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
More than 99%.
Yeah, I was like, wait, do we have that many decimal places? We have to take a really quick break. When we come back, though, I know that part of your article is about Medicare, and that is a huge, huge segment of our population these days, our folks on Medicare, and it's got some issues. So you have some ideas on Medicare, and I'd like to... Let's delve into that a wee bit.
Sure.
We'll come back to the drugs. We'll just weave the drugs in and out. 99% off. What the heck? All right. Our guest is Dr. Josh Lumber. Kidding. Umber.
Nice.
I just changed it. Oh, my God. Yeah. Atlas MD. I think this is amazing. It is March 3rd, 2024. Hit the page at wethepeopleradio.us and learn all about it. It's a really good idea. We'll be right back.
My family doctor for a pain inside my head. I told him the tunes you left me, I was feeling like just about dead. Well, doctor, what can you give me? And could I take one or two? Can you tell me just what it's gonna do? Will it save me from what I'm going through? Will it ease the pain?
There we go. Back on track here with the music. Spam was just a throwback from last week. Yeah. Dr. Umber, if you come on more frequently with us, we'll play the Weird Al songs for you.
That's the deal.
We were talking about a gal who was a vegan for 20 years and realized that it was basically killing her. So she started eating meat, and, well, you know, we had to play the spam song.
She got her color back.
Yeah, she realized that she was, like, gray, like the, you know, like a cloudy day, and she... What'd she do? She ate tuna, and her skin turned pink. I was like, oh, my God. So, anyway, we won't ask you to bring the hate on yourself by discussing the quality of vegan lifestyle, because apparently that it got her, bomb threats, and they tried to burn down her house.
Yeah, they came after her.
Pretty unpleasant.
Yeah.
You know, the people with all that...
the energy for it.
Yeah, I know. With, all that really? All that tolerance apparently boiled over. How about... So, on this thing with Medicare, back to reality. On this thing with Medicare, there are obviously the baby boomers are all in the Medicare system. I think now, I'm not an expert on generational, you know, time frames, but basically the baby boomers are all on Medicare now. And that's a huge strain on the system. And as a doctor, like you point out in your thing here, when, you know, a regular guy like you with a family practice, you get reimbursed. I couldn't even guess how small it is. I'm sure you know. But if they go to a hospital, you know, a big practice, and the doctors are part of a hospital group, reimbursement's totally different. What a rip.
No, yeah, it's a shame. And part of the problem, I think, that why patients get so frustrated with the system is it doesn't feel fair, because it's not. It's designed to be confusing and frustrating, and then kind of the law of good intentions plays into effect here, where the idea made sense on its face to the writers of the Medicare bill originally, who never practiced medicine, so they, I think, had a limited view of how it worked. But if you accept the idea that it's more expensive to provide some care in the hospital, then it sort of makes sense to say, okay, fine, we'll reimburse the hospitals more for the types of care they provide because it costs more. That incentivizes Medicare patients to be able to get access to hospital stuff when they need it. And then that was misused and abused by hospitals buying up doctors' offices and then calling them satellite locations of their hospital so that they could bill more for everything. So it was a poorly written law, abused for sure, and needs to be corrected, but probably won't be. That's why, on a Friday, you might go to your doctor's office and get a simple, straightforward bill, and then a week or two later, go back and get this unrecognizable bill that includes a hospital component, several hundred dollars more expecting, and all that, because the hospitals are saying, now your blood pressure is being managed in a hospital location, even though nothing's changed.
Yeah, there was... we went to a... an awards, it wasn't an awards ceremony, it was a healthcare dinner.
Oh, it was a Northern Valley Medical, it was all the physicians.
All the physicians. And one of the conversations we had with one of the doctors, one of his cohorts worked out of a rural hospital, and for the same procedure that this other doctor got $320 reimbursement for, he got eight, and he said that he said it doesn't even make sense to perform those when you don't get paid for them.
Right, depending on what it was, somebody's being underpaid and someone's being overpaid, and then you times that by the thousands of procedures that you can bill Medicare for,
right,
and you've got quite a real problem. So we need to standardize this, and if anything, 20% of our entire GDP is healthcare, and we don't have transparent pricing there. That just blows my mind, because I would never buy anything from Apple or Amazon if I had no idea what the price is. And during the previous administration, there was a lot of forward momentum on price transparency, and then hospitals fought that pretty hard and played games, and now they're being kind of forced to reveal some of their prices, but they're not they're not trying to, and they're not putting patients first. Then, and then, well, we'd rather have these unpredictable prices and then give you this discount back, but you don't know if it's a fair discount because it's just another layer of confusion. Versus, again, cost versus price. What does it actually cost? Well, it cost me 40 cents to do an EKG on you, right? So do I need $100 for that? No, not really. The coffee in the waiting room costs 80 cents a cup, but I can't bill your insurance for that either. So we need to have more transparency in how hospitals are run and what Medicare bills, bring that back to something closer to reality.
Is there some of this that kind of falls back to the patient? I mean, when you go to a doctor and he checks you all out and then he hands you a lab slip and says, hey, go to your lab and have him draw blood, and he has all the tests are going to run on this lab slip. Nobody looks at that and goes, well, how much do each one of these tests cost? I mean, what are they? What are we looking for? I don't know that patients in a lot of cases ask enough questions, because when you go and get that testing done, your insurance company gets a bill, you pay a fairly small copay, but you know, it could be hundreds or thousands of dollars that somebody's paying for all that testing.
Right. Yeah, and I think the consumer-driven healthcare was a buzz phrase, you know, years ago, and sounds great and seems to make sense on its face, until you kind of think about, A, the system isn't designed to be easy for consumers, right? The lab isn't going to tell you the price, and the price is marked up drastically, and it may or may not depend on the coding that the doctor did or what they documented or what insurance you have or what year it is or what your plan setup is. And so no one can just tell you, like they can in the grocery store, what it should be,
right?
Except direct care.
Right, right.
You know, and that's the beauty of our passion, is I can tell you exactly what our price is, and for the most common lab tests, it's 95% less. You know, a CBC to check your blood counts, your iron levels, $2, right? So again, you shouldn't even need insurance for that, but that should just be listed.
Right.
And every other industry actually is trying to make it easier to be a consumer, right? If I go to Best Buy and try to buy a TV, they're going to tell me the price.
Right.
And the last time I did, they even went so far as to find coupons online from other stores to make sure I didn't leave, and then honored those coupons. So I got to be a lazy consumer. And in healthcare, we try to be like, well, you know, if you do all your own legwork, then maybe you get a discount, but it's still rigged against you.
Well, the other one that's become really, I mean, so different since it used to be, I mean, you know, 30, 40 years ago, you went to buy a car, and it was kind of like, you know, you got on your suit of armor, and you put two padlocks on your wallet, you know, and then you went and you looked at the vehicle. And now it's like, the price is the price is the price. You're going to buy it or not buy it. I mean, even car sales has become more consumer-friendly from a price standpoint.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, CarMax made their entire business model off, we'll be honest to you. That's how far the industry had shrunken or sank. And no one else would do that. No one else would be able to get away with that. It's expected to be transparent and fair and easy.
Well, we haven't since we haven't spoken with you since, you know, the great meltdown. I've noticed, at least, not necessarily in our county, but in the county to the north of us, that's far more rural. There were a lot of healthcare workers that were fired from the local hospital because they wouldn't get the shot. That was really the catalyst. I mean, the whole crazy mask thing and all that stuff was another kind of another layer of annoyance. But the vaccine was a huge problem for people, and they said, nope, it's not worth it to me to put myself at risk. I'm out. And those people have all coalesced. It's taken them a while, but they have created a system called The Well. And so they have, you know, a doctor, a physical therapist. They have all the little pieces, and they have a member. It's a membership. I think it's like $100 a year or something. It's not a lot. And they don't you know, they'll give you a super bill. You can go bill your insurance if you want to, but their prices are not, they haven't taken your model. But I'm gonna share your information. I should have thought of this before. Just heard them speak. But people are able to get care, reasonable, you know, in a reasonable way.
Amazing thing. You know, if you experiment a little bit and say, well, if we just don't put everything through insurance, are there other options? And of course there are, right? You know, some of these have been around all the time. Mm-hmm. Plastic surgery is almost exclusively cash-based because it's cosmetic and not covered. And a lot of dentistry is that way. And so, you know, mental health, the cash-based therapist, and, you know, the 15-minute couch hour. Seems so foreign for doctors to apply it to themselves because we're not taught business. In fact, if anything, we're taught that business is bad. It's unbecoming and unprofessional of a physician to muddy their hands. But then you get this result. You get doctors aren't involved and admin are. Well, if it's unprofessional for us, it should be unprofessional for them. The point of the matter is, yes, we're all running a business. We all need to pay our bills, but we also need to do it in a way that's fair and transparent and equitable to our customer. And you know, you could do a just fee for service model. That's your standard movie theater, or somewhat Amazon pay for a video, rent a video. Then you've got your Netflix. You've got your Costco. Costco is a brilliant model, and they make 75% of their revenue profits off of just the membership. And if you give us the membership, we can afford to give everything else out almost at cost. I believe it's cost plus 14% typically. And they're constantly trying to say, how do we bring more value over to our customers, right? You know, the hot dog that hasn't changed prices in 30 years, the rotisserie chicken that they're most definitely losing money on, but because they're putting their customer first and their value and commitment is you know, shown right there. I think doctors should be somewhat embarrassed that we can't meet the customer, beat or exceed the customer service setting that is set by other companies. But it's just because we're stuck in the, everyone else bills insurance for things, so I will, until I see something different that's working and thriving. But that's why the direct care movement's growing so quickly, I think, is, once patients do see there's a better way, and doctors see that they can be happier and not suicidal, it's absorbed, it's adopted quicker and quicker all the time.
Well, and they don't have to worry that, because, like, my doctor, they give me a super bill, I can send it to the insurance company, but he is not part of any insurance network because he wants to practice medicine. I mean, he's really upfront about it. He said, I can't actually treat patients the way I want to because they're all over me. And, like, during the pandemic, they were all over him. We're going to take your medical license, and California was really ugly.
And I can understand how patients might kind of reject that a little bit, like you're putting the work back on me. But at the same time,
no, it's easy. I mean, it's just not that big a deal.
It's part of that, but it also makes the insurance responsible to their customer. And then they can, you know, jerk the physician around on the administrative side, and you've got to call, and you've got to do a peer-to-peer, and you've got to resubmit the whole chart and all these sort of things, and then just leverage bureaucracy against them. But it's much harder to do that to the customer writing you a check every month and have, you know, such poor service. So in some ways, it re-centers the relationship in the way that it should be. You know, I'm upset with Apple, I call Apple. I don't call other center. Yeah, it doesn't care.
How did it come about that insurance companies, you go to a doctor and he prescribes a certain medication, you submit it to your insurance, and your insurance says, oh, no, we're not going to pay for that. Figure out something else. I don't know. To me, that seems like they're practicing medicine. But just the fact that they don't want to pay for something, it doesn't seem like that's okay to me. And you hear about that all the time. I mean, it's happened to me. I submit a prescription. Oh, it hasn't been authorized by your insurance. well, why do I go to a doctor if the insurance company is going to be the ultimate decision maker on my health?
hold that thought. I just realized we're this is going very fast. We're time traveling with you today. It must be the Kansas effect. That's what we're we're going to blame it on Kansas. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Nice job, Bill.
Hey, thanks.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise to leave them open for so long?
Brother bought a coconut, he bought it for the diamond. Sister had another one, she paid it for the lime. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the coconut, she called the doctor, woke him up and said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor, to relieve this bellyache. I said, Doctor, ain't there nothing I can take? I said, Doctor.
I was crying to be played. You can't go wrong with the lime and the coconut song.
Especially when talking to a doctor.
I know, that's why it just seemed so much fun. So, Bill, back to Bill's drug story. Sorry, I was just
had my own question. The insurance companies, how do they get away with that? I mean, a doctor prescribes a drug, they don't want to pay for it, and so they basically require the doctor to change his diagnosis or prescription.
Yeah, you have to practice creative medicine now to get your patients whatever they're supposed to take.
Well, I think it's a mixed bag, and you'll rarely hear me defend insurance companies, but I think we rail on them, and that doesn't change anything. As a doctor, I think we should put the responsibility back on the doctor, and there's plenty of times where they're playing games, the insurance. There's plenty of times where they're looking out for the patient. They are not practicing medicine. That is correct. They are saying, this is what we will or will not pay for, and then the rest is sort of implied so that we can keep your premiums at the rate that they are, right? And then everyone is upset every year when the rates go up, inevitably. And so it's one of those where, yeah, if you don't mind what your premiums are, we can pay for everything, but then your premiums are going to double every couple of years. Mm-hmm. So it's this weird self-balancing. For the same medication or for the same issue, I can prescribe a medicine that's 8 cents a pill or $34 a pill. So which would you rather have your insurance pay for if it affects your insurance premiums?
Well, right? as long as both of them do the same thing or are going to give you the same outcome, I would hope that the doctor would prescribe a drug that would be economical for the patient and do what it's supposed to do.
Agreed. Yeah, I think we should start with sort of the, quote, best medication for the patient, but the best, most cost-effective medication for the patient.
Do you know that as a physician, when you go to prescribe something, do you have like a secret book somewhere?
Well, see, I do, because in direct care, we buy the meds, so I know what the prices are. Mm. It's not just even the wholesale price. I know which one is much cheaper versus much more expensive. Of course, generics cheaper than name brand and these sort of things. But that is part of the problem. The average doctor is so busy with the things you said earlier, seeing 30 or 40 people a day, and then spending as much time charting as they are in front of the patient. They're charting after hours, nights, weekends, burning out, missing their family, being suicidal. So the idea to throw on yet another thing of, and know how much every drug is at every pharmacy, becomes almost unknowable. But that's also why you should have an in-house, because then you do know that, and it saves everybody time and gets more care more often at a better price. So the insurance is saying the doctor is in front of the patient, and how do you judge the doctor? That if the patient gets a medicine that they want, or name brand, or better, right? We can all eat a chicken sandwich, but depending on, you know, we're going to think that's a better chicken sandwich if it comes from Chick-fil-A versus McDonald's or something. We like our Starbucks coffee more than gas station coffee, and we're okay paying 10 times as much for it. The difference is we expect coffee at the gas station to be a dollar, coffee at Starbucks to be $8. We don't realize that there might be, you know, $1,000 difference per month between a name brand and a generic, or one medicine and another. But if you tell a patient, I'm going to prescribe you a really good, strong medicine, they're happy. And they want name brand because they want name brand Starbucks. They don't want to think they're getting gas station coffee. Right. And so the incentive is, how do I make the patient in front of me happy so that they don't go online, bash me online, and you know, bother my staff and do all these things? So in a weird way, they are kind of hurting themselves of telling the patient to get the most expensive med and then waiting for insurance to not pay or not pay for that. But then we took an oath to do no harm, and I think that means do no financial harm, and we have to be able to look at that in the bigger picture of, if I prescribe a $34 a day medicine versus an 8 cents a day medicine, I am going to make you lose your insurance at some point.
Sure.
Or someone is going to lose their insurance.
Sure, because the cost goes crazy.
Yeah. Right, that's just such a huge difference. It's unabsorbable at some point. And the insurance company would totally absorb it if you're willing to pay, you know, $60 more a month for your insurance. But that's, you know, a $720 per year increase. Well, but you get that, you know, in 1 to 12 months from now. You want the medicine now, and when you're sick, I want a strong medicine or a good medicine. And there's a wonderful economic book on this called Predictably Irrational. You know, you're not supposed to buy your wife the on-sale diamond. I did. But you're not supposed to, and because somehow it means less. And so people, you know, price anchor, and, oh, the more expensive medicine must be better. And then no one's giving them information. They're just being told no by someone. A pharmacist, who's a guy in the middle, you know, or a woman, and the insurance, who they can't really talk to, and the doctor's too busy. So, again, We can blame all these vague entities, or we can ask the doctor to take ownership of that and bring the $34 medicine. And the funny thing about that whole conversation, they're the same medicine.
Yeah. Right.
So in this case, it's the difference between the generic medicine wholesale and the generic medicine at the pharmacy. So sometimes it's the exact same medicine that's $34 more than it should be, because the doctor's not maybe diving as deep into the solution as we can. So we eliminate the entire process of the pharmacy and insurance, and at the end of the day, we decrease your insurance premiums by 30%. If we could do that, we would go back to early 2000s, late 90s insurance premiums.
God, wouldn't that
be nice?
And
that would be, you know, $500 extra in the back of every household in their pocket. That would be,
if you could figure out how to do that and lower gas prices, you could run for president right now.
Well, I'm halfway there. Yeah.
I just want you to know, like, for the record, we drank gas station coffee less than 12 hours ago.
I grew up on hospital coffee, which is worse than
I love gas station coffee. I never drink Starbucks. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't give them all that money. That's crazy.
And I love generic meds.
See? And I do too. Yeah. I used to get all my stuff from Canada back when you could do that. You send your prescription to Canada and you get, you know, thyroid meds for, I don't know, 6 months for $10 or some crazy thing. And it's like, I knew 30 years ago, if you could do that, wait a second, something wrong with this. Talk about this site-neutral part so that we don't, well, we're totally running out of time, but so we don't run out of time without hitting that, because that's kind of what, that's one of your solutions you're proposing, is this idea of a site-neutral policy and the study that was done last year.
Medicare ends up just being such a huge spender, and so then they end up being the probably biggest source of waste as well. And they set the rules that a lot of the rest of the industry follows. So when they do something like this pricing discrepancy, well, then everyone else wants to do it too, right? So then everyone follows the leader, even if that's bad for patients. And so the Medicare rules that allow hospitals to get reimbursed more for treating blood pressure in the hospital that then get abused, so they buy up doctor's offices, not because they want to run them better, but because they want to bill the patient as if the patient was in a hospital all the time. Well, that's bad for, you know, the patient. That's, the doctor doesn't see extra money from that. The insurance premiums go up, employer premiums go up. Yeah, that has to be drawn from somewhere, so that generally draws from, you know, payroll, and it's just hurting everyone and not adding any value. So we've tripled the cost of care because of this, you know, well-intentioned law, but poorly executed law. So we need to bring that back so that we can put a stop to the abuse of these hospital-owned clinics pretending and masquerading as if they're providing more complex, more expensive care when they're really just kind of padding the bottom line.
Is there anything being done with that? Is that a process that's happening now, or is it just like it would be great if?
Yeah, just great if. Other than, you know, random Wichita doctors writing op-eds, you know, the system isn't, they're very good at creating new laws. They're very bad at removing bad laws.
Yeah.
And the next one will be just abused. I mean, you know, at this point, we've gone through 3 decades of this that I can remember, whether it was pay for performance or this alphabet soup of initiatives, macro or MIPS, or these just reporting requirements where they get, you know, misused and abused, and we're supposed to save the system money, but then just no one's seen the system ever get cheaper. So clearly they're not working.
It's and then, but there are all these spinoffs coming from this. Are you seeing that in your area? All these different types of arrangements. You know, the concierge type of an arrangement. The like the one I was talking about earlier that has all the different practitioners who've kind of band together so that they can all practice, but none of them can afford to be standalone because they'd have to have their own facility and all that. So, you know, they kind of, it's like the old days of the co-op.
You know, I think we are. You know, we started this in 2010, but I always joke the family docs are a little farther ahead than the specialists when it comes to frustration, because, you know, the specialists always get paid more money for what they're doing, so they don't have to see as many patients, and then they're the end of the line, so they, you know, the paperwork can only be so much for them. And now all of the same things we were dealing with in 2010, they're dealing with now and have been for years. And so they're getting frustrated and burnt out and saying, how can we practice medicine without insurance? And that's the beautiful thing, is specialists can do this like anyone else, whether it's fee-for-service or membership. We're all providing care to patients who need it, but we're doing it through this very broken, bloated system. So carve it all back, have transparent prices, wholesale meds, wholesale labs, free procedures, no co-pays, and, you know, the patients respond really well to stuff like that. And now, as insurance premiums are at, you know, literally an all-time high, and for 2024, this was the single largest one-year price increase since 2012, I think everyone's saying, I'm paying more than I ever did. I have less money than I normally have because of inflation, and I'm getting the least amount of care for all of this. They're looking, so like, all right, you know, I just want to see my doctor. I just want to be able to get my blood pressure and cholesterol meds and not, you know, make it such an ordeal. And so they are. They're adopting, and the grassroots movement is growing. And now, generally, we launch 20 to 30 new doctors and direct care new clinics each month around the country. It's picking up more momentum all the time.
Nice. Do you guys have what kind of marketing campaign, I guess, do you have out for this?
Well, in some ways, this is it. You know, we just provide a lot of good care to good people and talk about it.
Nice.
And tell patients if they like it, tell their boss, tell their neighbors, and it's better to do that and build the momentum than try to oversell it. And there's always national conferences that doctors can attend. We provide all of our consulting to doctors free of charge.
Well, we're gonna start writing your phone number on the bathroom wall, I think. Now that we have it, thank God.
Yeah.
I'll make sure and put the phonetic spelling of your name now so it comes out right.
There you go, yes.
Dr. Josh Umber, thank you so much. We hope you're enjoying Wichita, Kansas these days, and we hope to have you on sooner than 3 long years. Keep writing the op-eds.
Yep, thanks for coming
on.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
We'll be right back. We're going to talk about ESG next hour.